Before we turn to our readings from Scripture this day, let us first turn to God in prayer. As you spoke to our ancestors in faith, O God, speak now amidst all of the many voices that surround us. By your Spirit, let your word illumine the darkness and your light break through our illusions, that we may see your truth and go forth with lives of love and service. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson is Psalm 96, found on page 550 in the Old Testament section of your pew Bible, if you would like to read along. Listen now for God's word. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord is king. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament lesson this morning is the very end of the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. You may follow along on page 34 of the New Testament section of your pew Bibles. Let us listen now for the word of God. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm holding on to a secret. Many of you came today expecting me to share a meditation on the word of faith, go. Or maybe you just found that out looking ahead in your bulletin. But really, it's more than that. It's code. Sure, my word of faith is go, but really, by that, I mean evangelism. Oh, no, you're thinking. We really aren't big fans of that E word. Okay, we know evangelism is part of our call as followers of Christ, but come on, Courtney, it makes us really uneasy. That cringe and nervous laughter that you just felt and heard was probably not too different from what those disciples felt at hearing Jesus tell them to go, therefore, and evangelize. I really can't imagine how those disciples must have felt at the end of Matthew. They had pretty much run a marathon of emotions at that point. After traveling nonstop for years, here they are. After following the betrayal, arrest, trial, crucifixion, and resurrection of Jesus, to now receive this final word. Can you just see them saying to Jesus, "Oh, come on, really? We've watched you do these great things. teaching and healing and challenging and sharing with these many people for years, and now you want us to be the ones to go on and do more and better than you, the Son of God. Okay, sure, all right, that sounds doable. Even with the reminder that Jesus goes with them and with us, this great commission to get going and do even more is stressful. There's part of me that always hears this word of Scripture and already feels exhausted. We are already people on the go. We go all the time. This weekend is one of those annual markers to finally stop going quite so fast and so much in our usual ways and switch into our summer schedules. School is finally out. Graduations have happened. We are making different kinds of plans to have some catch-up days in the office, some beach time, some family gatherings. And there's kind of an exhale when we get to summer as our going changes a bit. And for some of you, this right here is the hour of peace for the week, to rest in community, worship in song and word, hearing these wonderful reminders of love, grace, forgiveness, and peace that God so longs to share with us. But we don't stay here. We are sent back into a world of chaos and busyness and apathy, injustice, and great longing. Go, therefore, Jesus says, because I need you to serve this world. This rhythm of coming and going, gathering and sending shaped my life, and I can see it means something to you too. We gather here week in and week out as the body of Christ to be met by a God who longs to share with us and then sent back out to love others, to evangelize. I know from my pre-robe-wearing life how much you all would like us as the ordained clergy to be the ones who do that evangelizing, to let you off the hook for this really big task. Well, may I remind you, priesthood of all believers, that call is for you too. It's for all of us. We share that. This doesn't mean that I have to do that all by myself. It means we do it together. You could argue that Jesus was speaking here to instruct these somewhat trained people who kind of had a front seat seminary crash course as they watched him do ministry. Surely they picked up a few tricks, a few techniques along the way that would help them carry this out. But really, the folks that stuck with Jesus to the end still weren't professionals. They were ordinary folks who just happened to have experienced that active, transforming, relational love of a God who came close to them in Jesus. They were not any more prepared to go than we are today. They did not have any more answers or a more solid faith. Even as they gathered that day on that mountain after Easter, even after they had seen the risen Christ with their own eyes, the text tells us some still doubted. But Jesus gives them this charge anyway. Go, make disciples. And why? Because Jesus knew that this message they had to share of God's amazing love was one that everyone needed to hear. And I don't think anything's really changed. The thing is, Jesus has chosen ordinary folks like us for this job, too. We have already been invited to follow. He does not expect us to have all the answers figured out right from the start. We will never quite feel as equipped as maybe we hope to be. Maybe that's the kind of the part that makes evangelism so scary. Growing closer to God is a process. It comes as we spend our time seeking to know God and taking in more and more of this amazing story. It comes when we talk with others about what really matters to us. And it comes when we pray and trust that the Spirit will help us face what this day will bring. All Jesus asks is that we go, that we don't keep this to ourselves, that we find ways to share what we believe. Evangelism, after all, is really just sharing. A few years ago, I had a wonderful opportunity to study in Louisville at the Presbyterian denominational offices. A couple other seminaries sent students, and we all gathered together looking at different aspects of the church's ministry. Some got really cool assignments like Christian education and peacemaking. I got evangelism, and I was really bummed. I really wanted to go work with those really cool offices and have all these things to take back into my future ministry. But no, there I was, sitting with other anxious seminarians in this room with these evangelists, dreading what we were going to have to do. So, sure enough, these staff leaders led us into a conversation about what it is to listen. And then they took us out onto the scary, unknown streets of Louisville and asked us to talk to people. But not really talk. We were supposed to listen. I asked strangers about their experience of church, what their impression of church was today. What do you think that the church should be doing to serve people and communities? This hour of listening to people outside of our doors allowed our group to be transformed, to see the possibilities beyond what we could think up ourselves around a table in a closed office. We were not pushy. We did not have a sly agenda. We weren't walking around with bags full of tracts to pass out. It was a reminder that in going, we go to change the church. We keep talking about these internal things, and we miss these great opportunities to go beyond our very doors. This charge that Jesus gives to the disciples, this great commission, as we call it, is really a reminder to go out and tell his story. Well, no, not really. It's to tell our story of faith with him. It's what my preaching professor, Anna Carter Florence, calls testimony, which is nothing more or less than what we ourselves have experienced. To share how we have come to trust God is faithful. Why we have chosen to put our future in God's hands. Testimony. We have often bought into this kind of cultural assumption that faith is meant to be private. That telling others what we believe is being pushy. And that asking someone what they believe might be perceived as intrusive or offensive. Now, for sure, don't get me wrong, there are definitely ways to do that poorly. But remember, it's not up to us to convince other people to believe. That's the Holy Spirit's work. But our job is to be brave enough to get the conversation started, to offer an invitation into conversation. And I know that in itself can be a very scary thing. And not even the professionals are always good at it. I am not always up to the, so what do you do conversation, especially on a place like an airplane or when I'm getting my hair cut or anywhere that I am stuck. I went recently to my 10-year high school reunion and faced my great fear. I left my clerical collar at home, but I did spend the evening deciding how much I really wanted to say about my sense of call and faith. Because you really just can't say you're a pastor and leave it at that. Sometimes I'm really jealous of you people. But I did manage to get a little bit bold with one old friend. I shared how much joy I experience in my work and how exciting confirmation and graduate Sunday was this month. How I cannot wait to get on the bus and go back to Mobile here in a few weeks. And how I long for Thursday nights to share stories of life and faith around the table with young adults. Now, I know it sounds like I wasn't doing a terrible job. But what I wish I had done was ask her So have you ever had an experience like that? Has church or another experience in your life ever allowed you to see God in new ways and to bring you that joy? It makes me wonder where the conversation could have gone from there. And that was someone I knew. One of the really great privileges of my unique calling as a pastor is to bear witness to how this community is telling our stories. And you know who does it really well? Our young adults. In our transitional years of post-college study, job finding, family building, purpose seeking, we talk a lot about our stories. We have been meeting now for about 18 months once a week out in the community, growing together in a restaurant. What began as a great excuse to gather around appetizers and truffle fries has grown into a lot more. This group of young adults has brought into this restaurant and its staff a curiosity and openness for faith, seeking conversations that have opened a great door. Our young adults have invited the stranger to sit at our table and share along with them their own questions and experiences of God. Highland is truly a church on the move. I think about the flurry of pictures shared on our Facebook and other things this week, like our return of our Scotland pilgrims, a beautiful afternoon of lemonade in the shade, our new baseball discussion group that overflowed hams on Monday night. So many opportunities just this week. We are a church that knows and follows this commission faithfully. We go to Montreat as a community and as separate groups. We go to John's Island to serve in mission. We go out for Helping Hands Day to open ourselves to our neighbors. We meet in restaurants around town. We are evangelizing every time we open ourselves up to sharing our stories and speak with others. You see, it's not so scary. You're really already doing it. So maybe we need to stop thinking of it as evangelizing and go back to what Jesus calls it, which is go. Make disciples. Share our story. And to do that, we have to go into the world. I fully believe that God puts opportunities like this in front of us. God puts people into our lives who need to hear that they are loved, that there is hope, that Jesus cares. You are the messengers of that word, and you carry it out every time you serve in God's name. You carry it out when you treat others with dignity. You carry it out as you create a place for all to belong. Disciples are made one conversation at a time, one invitation at a time, one act of kindness every time. They are made when we reflect the active, transforming, relational love that we find in Jesus. And that's what we're called to do. And so we go, sharing this good news for all. And as we do that, in the loving of our neighbor, in the sharing of love, together we go. In the celebration of life, in the sharing of that life together, together we go. In the caring of the earth, in the sharing of the harvest, together we go. In the variety of people and the sharing of our talents, together we go. In the laughter we make in the sharing of the journey, together we go. In the love of this community, in the sharing of our faith everywhere, together we go. So, go therefore and tell. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.